Welcome to the MMA Roadshow episode 496. This is Cold Coffee and John Morgan is not with me. He is over there in North Dakota for Cage Fury Fighting Championship 136. He said, you know, I'm just having so much fun over in North Dakota. You know, I just think I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do me Cold Coffee. Why don't you just take care of it? So this is the long dreaded episode of All Coffee, No Cream, No Jameson. Who knows? Whatever. Bear with me, guys. Not your normal episode, but so I'll try to keep it light. I'll try to keep it quick, and I'll try to answer a few questions that were submitted. Figured, what the heck, you know, we could talk a little bit about UFC Paris, but figured, you know, I'd pose the question to see if you guys had any questions for me that you wanted answered. And thank you for the people that did actually chime in. So I'll go ahead and I guess first I'll start with the most important thing and give you the Vegas weather. It's sunny. It's nice. It's beautiful. The weather got drunk and forgot that it's supposed to be getting near the end of the year where it's supposed to be getting cooler. Yesterday, I think we got up over 100. And today, when I looked at it just short a little bit ago, it was like 96. So, yeah, weather's drunk and forgot that it's supposed to be getting near fall if we have what is considered fall out here. It's not like the fall's back home, you know, but I will tell you, it is nice every once in a while you get to put sweatpants on or put like a little pullover or a sweatshirt on. It's kind of nice. Reminds me of back home, but we don't get to do that often out here. But that being said, yes, this weekend we got UFC Paris. Actually, again, apologies for this coming so late. We were trying to make it work with John's schedule. Dude's a busy man. His hands were tied, so he wasn't able to do it. So that's why it's coming up today. And unfortunately, that means the event in Paris happens in less than 24 hours from now. So I won't go over it too much. I mean, I think you guys know that, you know, the main players, definitely the headline event in there, Renato Moicano against Benoit Saint Denis. Mm-hmm. Definitely an important fight for the lightweight division. Neither guy is, you know, not in the next contender sort of role, but they are battling to stay at the top of that division and stay, you know, sort of keeping their names in the running. I did, in my staff picks, I did lean towards Benoit Saint-Denis, but, you know, that's no slight to Money Moicano, who I know John has real close ties with and, you know, has been doing some shows with him. I just feel that Benoit, man, I think it's just one fighting in Paris, you know, fighting in a country where you're going to be surrounded by countrymen, definitely boosts you to another level. So I think he's going to get the nod, but can Moicano get in there and make it dirty and do what he does? Of course he can. You know, there's always that possibility that, you know, he silences the hype, shuts everything down and kind of makes the point that, you know, sorry, Benoit, you're not ready for the top 10 yet. I do think Benoit's ready for the top 10. And I think this win here, if he can get this, will kind of put his name into the running with another couple solid wins. He should have his name up there vying for contendership. But again, this is just a small step in that direction, but this is a step in the right direction if he is able to get this win. So we'll see how that one plays out. Other good ones, Nasruddin Imavov against Brendan Allen. That's a good one. I know a lot of us in our staff picks lean towards Imavov in that, and there were a few that went to Brendan Allen. I feel this is like one of those fights where people count out Allen, and he always just sort of shows up. Imavov, man, he's just a dude's a beast. I think, again, I'm going to give him the hometown love and say that he's going to get the nod. He's going to take that energy. That being said, it doesn't mean that any of these guys going into foreign territory can't pull out the win. Brendan Allen is definitely capable. He's shown in the past when he's been that underdog that he proves that he can get the win out there. Imavov, man, I think this guy, he is definitely one of these guys that the guys at the top of the division need to keep their eye on, because this is a guy that I think a lot of us think that has the potential to be a champ. So this would be, you know, kind of help solidify that position and hold on to that top five spot, if that is in fact what the UFC rankings. I'm going off Tapology, so I apologize if these aren't the UFC rankings, and I don't usually pull up the USA Today rankings just because it's an I like to lean on the UFC ones, but I know my and I have no say in the rankings in any other thing, so I guess I can pick and choose whichever one. And right now I'm looking at Tapology, so we're going to go with the Tapology rankings. And I believe those might go off the UFC ones, but they might not. They might just be in their own random ass rankings. I will say the fight right after that, and this was kind of brought up into question today. Somebody asked me when the AMAs what I thought about Joy Anderson Brito's antics at the weigh-ins. This third fight from the top, William Gomez and Joy Anderson Brito, I think that's a banger. The actions in question, Joy Anderson, when they went to first went up, go up and grab each other, they extended their hands to handshake, but instead of just doing a typical one-hand handshake, he double handshakes, grabs him with both hands and yanks down, you know, which, you know, can be nothing, you know, but we also know that some actions like that could cause issues with an elbow, could cause an issue with the shoulder. It's just weird. It was dirty. I mean, I think anybody that saw it, you know, was hard and just not, you know, just be like, what are you doing? You know, it's kind of weird. I had Brito, I'm pretty sure, in my staff picks. I just feel that's weird. I find it weird when guys do that sort of stuff. I just feel like their head's in another place. You know, are you trying to injure your opponent? You're trying to show dominance? You're trying to do whatever? It's like, if you're that confident, just grab the man's hand, shake it, or just stare at him. Don't even touch him. You know, why do the weird, dirty antics that just makes people think that you're a dirty fighter, that you're cheap? You know, it's kind of weird. I don't think this is something that was premeditated with his team or anything along those lines. I think it's just maybe he's just caught up in the moment. But I thought it was dirty. I thought it was kind of sleazy. You know, I like him as a fighter. But yeah, I mean, for a guy that really shouldn't have anything to work, well, you know, at least should go in there. This is, you know, when looking at the other two guys that, with the French, you know, Paris ties, you know, Benoit and Nasruddin, I pick them and I say they will have the home favorite. I am going against it in this one. And I did have Brito picked in this one. I still just find that odd, and I just thought it was kind of shady that he did that particular move right there. I don't want to say like he's, you know, he's scared or that he meant to hurt him because he feels he needs a thing. I know in my tweet I said he was kind of worried. Maybe that's the wrong phrasing of it, but it's just, it's odd. It's odd. Like, where, what is going on in your head that you feel like you had to do that sort of deal? And who knows? I mean, they're fighters, so they're bit off anyways, so maybe in his head, you know, he was just so amped up for the moment. He just couldn't wait to get a hold of the guy's hand. But it's still, you know, his actions definitely had thought and meaning behind them. You know, grabbing with two hands so that he had a secure grip on the guy's arm, and to do it with no warning. That's shitty. That's kind of shitty. So going down the card, Battle versus Jussette. I think that's going to be a good fight. I can't remember if I leaned towards Battle on that one as well. I might have went towards Brian Battle on that one. I'd have to go back to my staff picks, which currently I'm leading by two. So that doesn't mean follow my picks by any means, because it is fighting and this shit just goes crazy and you think you know anything and everything goes wrong eventually. Some other good ones on there. The Faris Ziam, right? Against Matt Pervola. I think that's a good fight. I did lead Ziam on that one. I think that's a good fight. But, man, Pervola's a dog, man. Now you're looking at him, he's got a really good record. I'm not sure why I leaned on that one initially. Maybe then I'm just going back and giving him the French love. And I'm probably going to regret, I believe I picked Kutalaba against Ursulon. And because Kutalaba, man, when he shows up, man, he's dangerous. He's badass. But, man, when he shows up and he's overhyped and he gets caught and it makes you look silly for picking him. I hope that's not this another one of those instances where that happens. But I think I did lean Kutalaba on that one. Umar C versus Dawoon Jung after that. I think most of the staff pick, I think that was a unanimous pick from the staff. I think everybody went to C on that one. But again, you know, good card. It starts early. I want to say the prelims start at 9 a.m. Pacific. If ESPN is showing me my local time. Again, it's early, less than 24 hours. By the time you hear this, even less than that for when the main card's up there. So, yeah, I mean, it's fight early, you know, Saturday fights, which is cool. Could put that on and watch a little college ball at the same time. So that's always fun. So I'm looking forward to that one. The fights come back to America next week. I will be on the ground in Salt Lake City. I can't remember if J-Mo is going to be there with me or not, but we'll figure something out as for the taping of that particular one. But I know there will be some drinks probably had at the Club Area 51 that is there in Salt Lake City. That is just this crazy little club. It has like this little dance floor that looks like it's, you know, pulled right out of a Berlin nightclub. There's a karaoke room, which is, of course, a big favorite of mine. And then a couple other little rooms inside there. But that should be fun. So be good to get with some people on the ground and talk MMA. And I'm sure me and J-Mo will get that one sorted out for next week, how we're going to tape that one. Because I don't think he's going to be there. So we'll either do something remote or we'll tape early and figure something out. Because I will be here for the Contender Series on Tuesday night, and then flying out first thing Monday so we can get there for the media day on Wednesday. Again, you know, breakdowns is much better when you have J-Mo here doing it. So I'm not going to go. I'll leave UFC Paris as is. If you have more questions after it and, you know, have particular thoughts about certain fights, feel free to chime in afterwards, either on Twitter or at the webpage or on Patreon, which we love chatting with you over on Patreon. Feel free to reach out there and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But now I'll go with some of the questions that you guys were asking about in the, you know, that were pinging me back. And let's see, one of the first ones that came, and a bunch of these came from Mark Fellows, who, bless his heart, was like, yo, what's going on with the show? Where's the episode? So this is that episode. Not sure you're going to be grateful for it afterwards, but it is what it is. One of the first things that he brought up, he was asking, was what is one of my favorite travel destinations? And I know me and J-Mo have talked about this a bunch of times. And for me, it's Tokyo. It's Tokyo, Japan. I love the food. I love the people. I love the scenery, the architecture. It's just so fun going through there, and it's just so different, you know. I just love being in a place where you kind of, you know, they are polite when you don't speak the language. They are understanding. There is English written in a lot of other places, but, you know, most people do not speak it. They do appreciate when you try to speak Japanese, and they will work with you as best they can. But I found a lot of times, you know, you get by just pointing and just being polite, and they will help you out, you know. And I've always loved that from traveling, when you get to a place and you just be a human being, and then human beings are human beings, and they tend to want to help each other as long as you're honest and open about your actions and stuff. And it's really a lot of fun. It makes traveling really, really fun. But yeah, Japan, we've had some great times. We've had some serious blackout crazy stories there, earthquakes, all kinds of fun stuff. So yeah, favorite place, Tokyo for sure. There's a bunch of other places that they're higher on the list that are high on the list, but Tokyo for sure is my answer at this date as for like the favorite place that I've went to. Jumping over, I know a lot of people were talking about the UFC settlement, you know, and the new proposed settlement that the UFC has put out. And I am not a legal guy. I know there's a lot of legal jargon associated with it. There are much smarter people out there. There, one of the guys in question, or that I would like to mention, MMA journalist John Nash, he's one of the first guys that really sort of reported it. So this deal that TKO announced, they wanted to make an agreement for $375 million, which the previous amount was $335 million, and it was a joint combined settlement for the Lee and the second Johnson case that were sort of combined into one. But this new proposed agreement was $375 million, and that was just for the Lee case. So that's $75 million, I believe, more that is being allocated to the Lee case than what was before. I don't know what that means for the Johnson case. I don't know if they're still hoping for a separate settlement. I don't know if the UFC is like, hey, we're going to just give $375 million to the Lee case and make the other one go away. I don't know what that means, or if there's going to be news to come. Again, this is all bearing upon what the judge is going to say. The judge might say, hey, that's great for the Lee case. Now, what are you going to give for the Johnson case? I'm not sure what the reasoning was and why they combined the case in the first place, if that was just so that they could get it to sort of get an agreement made in the first place. So if so, maybe that does give hope that there will be another mount that comes out for the Johnson case. So if they're saying that 300 was just for the Lee case, that was only 35 million that they were trying to push towards the second group of guys anyways. So I wouldn't expect a huge number coming out if they are planning on coming out with another agreement just for the Johnson case. But it is a step in the right direction. It is more money, but it is kind of weird because it's only taking care of a portion of the, you know, claimants. So interesting. I think that's definitely going to be a stay tuned. But again, just because they put the money out, this amount out and said, hey, this is what we're willing to go with right now, doesn't mean it's going to go forward. It's all still going to be, you know, pending what this judge says about it. The judge might say, hey, great idea, in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction, but come back with something else. So we'll see. I think that's definitely something that maybe we'll hear some more word about here soon. But it is interesting. I'm glad it's a step in the right direction because the Lee case has been going on for over a decade. Glad to see some movement, hopefully. We thought we had movement in the first place. I know it wasn't the change that we wanted to see or thought that there would be. And I know it certainly felt like a lot of the money was going to the lawyers as opposed to the fighters. I don't think that's going to change in this. I mean, I'm pretty sure percentages are percentages. And you know, unless something else is worked out to where the lawyers are willing to take less, I don't see that happening. This might just be a small, you know, more money for the fighters, obviously, but it's going to be more money for the lawyers as well. So we'll see. It's interesting, but it is something, and that's kind of an interesting development. So stay tuned on that particular one. Another question that came in, I guess the last couple ones, I guess these are all fellows, because I think we really only had the one person that was asking what I thought about the breach of one. I guess I kind of already took care of that one. Who would I like to see Poirier fight in his retirement fight? You know, I got to use the man's words. The man said trilogy? Question? He's got to be talking about Eddie Alvarez. He's not talking about Eddie Alvarez. He's got to be talking about Gaethje. I mean, that's got to be, I mean, and that's almost like, you know, I know Gaethje's about ready to be done with this too, man. Like, would that be a fun fight to see both of them kind of walk out? I think so. You know, would I like to see, you know, Dustin get another, you know, possibly get another big paycheck if he was willing to humor Connor? Sure. You know, but in terms of like other fights that I really need him to see, I don't need him to see him fight. You know, I don't need Diaz to come back and fight him for anything. I don't need him to fight, really. He has nothing to prove at this point. So, I mean, if he wants to have a fun fight that he knows is going to be a banger and just one big, you know, smash fest in the middle of the octagon that's going to bring everybody to their feet, it's got to be Gaethje. And it seems like that's what he's willing to, you know, what he's alluding to with that trilogy tweet. So I think that would be a really, really cool fight to see happen. And if it's the end of both of them, I mean, how dramatic. And if they knew it'd be really cool if that was the case and they knew that maybe both guys are going to put the gloves down, to just do like a big video intro and then do big video like goodbyes, you know, afterwards, a package that sort of thanking them. You know, but I don't know. Now I think about it, maybe that would steal the thunder. I'd like to see a package for both of the guys. And, you know, would that take away from the other, you know, because they're only going to allot so much time because it is a broadcast and it is a show where they got, you know, sort of time restrictions. Maybe it isn't good to see them both go out at the same time for that, but I'd be here for it, man. I think that would be a great fight. It'd be interesting. Because, man, who would I lean on that one? I would initially think Dustin, but I don't know. I don't know, man. Justin's Justin. Gaethje, he looks in good form. He looks in good shape. When we saw him recently at, what's the golf place? Top Golf here in town. You know, he was in good spirits, looked in good shape, you know. You always know what you're going to get with a Gaethje fight, you know, and I feel like, you know, even if he didn't go to a training camp and even didn't prepare, you know, he's going to go in there and he's ready to go, you know, so, and we know what he's going to get, you know. It's not like these guys are doing a bunch of heavy spar going into it. I think these guys at this point just make sure that their bodies are shaped. They've taken enough shots. They don't need to take any shots in training to stay ready. I think they just need to keep their bodies at a high operating, range, and they're good to go. But yeah, I think Gagey and Poirier got to be the walk away one. Unless Connor's like, I don't count the last one. Let's go again, and then get that paycheck. Maybe we'll actually see Connor come back for that one. But again, that's all silly. Who knows if we'll ever see Connor again? I'd like to think we would, but I would have thought that we would have saw him by now. But you never know. The guy's, he's enjoying his life, so maybe we won't see him anytime soon. Dana seems pretty confident that 2025. I know Connor's been pushing over and over. He was like, he was trying to get in this year. That's not going to happen. When you see him out and about, man, dude is enjoying himself. Training has not been on the regime currently for him, but yeah, to keep it to Poirier Gagey, man, for the retirement one, 100%. Recently, a lot of people have been making comments about Dana jumping into boxing. We had the Zuffa boxing that took place over in Dublin with Callum Walsh. That was a lot of fun. That was a good fight. That Callum Walsh kid, man, he's sharp, man. He's good. I know a lot of people maybe thought at first that he was just this kid that they were hyping up. Yeah, the guy trains with Freddie Roach, blah, 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 blah. But ultimately, that's what put him on Dana's radar. Dana's even said it. They're like, how'd you find this kid? And he's like, well, I heard this kid that's been worked with Freddie Roach. I respect Freddie Roach a lot, blah, blah, blah. And then he saw him and he's like, I like this kid's work ethic. I like the way he fights. I'm willing to back this kid up, and he seems to be one of the stars that Dana's going to sort of be, leaning on for this Zuffa boxing. But initially, when we have a guy like Dana who has the UFC and he has a production staff, certainly makes it easy for him to put on events when he just leans on his staff to work these events. So, when you watched that last event, it had a lot of pacing and quickness, and it felt like a UFC production, and it's because he was using the UFC staff for a lot of it. And you wonder, like, what do you mean by that? Well, these staff people aren't getting paid separately to work a boxing. I mean, they're all salaried, and before you say, well, see, they're salaried, but yes, these aren't, I believe, UFC productions. This is not UFC has an investment in Zuffa boxing. Maybe they do in a sense, but Dana tries to put on the shoulder, like, this is his thing. This is his thing. And this is him and doing whatever. This is Dana asking his staff and pretty much talk to his people. Like, I need people to go do this, this, this. And it gets a bit hard on these staffers who are being asked to travel the world already for UFC. And then now you want to throw in other events. And at the end of the day, it's not your job, really, It's kind of weird. Most people, this is like one of those places where people are like, just where you often hear manager bosses say, just be grateful you got a job, because somebody would want that job. I remember they told me that same thing when I used to complain about having to go shoot Dana's kids' football games. I remember one of my managers saying, well, just be grateful because others would want this job, and it's just like, that's not the point. You hire me to be a production specialist for the UFC and you're asking me to cover something else that just is sort of related off to the side. So interesting. But anything to do with Zuffa boxing, that's just another little crazy story bit that, nobody ever thinks about. But when you look at these productions and you say, man, this really feels like a sort of UFC event, it's because a lot of the UFC people are behind the scenes are actually working on them. That being said, Dana's a big fan of boxing, man. He came up in the boxing scene as a boxing fan before he ever got into MMA. So he's always loved the sport. As much as, you see him sort of kind of badmouth some of the big players in the sport, it's because he has his reasons. He thinks that some of these guys should be doing different things. And I'm sure there's been in town, rivalries about events. We've seen that, recently with the Canelo and the MGM and why they end up having to go to the Sphere in the first place. It's just funny when you hear him sometimes talking and he's calling Bob Arum a scumbag and all this other stuff. It's odd to hear a grown-ass man calling a 90-some-year-old man a scumbag. And just, like, at some point, it's like, bro, come on. Like, it's becoming borderline elderly abuse at this point. Like, we get it. You don't like Aaron, but it's like, come on, man. Like, have a little respect of your elder, you know, regardless of whether you think his business practices, you know, it's just kind of silly. But, and with Turkey, the Sheik, getting involved, he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of money, but, you know, when they put their money in, who knows how much money Dana will be willing to take, because he likes to have control of things. I think if it came down to whether he could take a show on the road and he needs that Saudi money to make it happen, I think he's willing to bend and let them have more say in things. But, you know, maybe if he's happy with them just becoming a sponsor on a banner, you know, and renaming things and taking money for that and allows him to do whatever, we might see more of that. But as for, like, joint promotions between Turkey and Dana, I'm not sure if we're going to see any joint promotions. I think most that we'll see is, you know, some sort of a sponsorship where we might see Riyadh Season on a banner or something along those lines. But Dana does make it sound like he wants to do more of the boxing. And hey, man, I mean, who of us, before we ever watch MMA, didn't watch boxing? You know, I think over the years, our idea of some of the boxing events have kind of soured because there's just been questionable calls and just weird stuff has happened that you're just like, people tend to think that the sport has been dirty or, you know, that there's people in it, you know, making, you know, throwing fights and all this other sort of stuff. And maybe there has been, you know, but it doesn't mean that boxing shouldn't be around. I mean, there's a lot of people. It's an amazing sport on its own. If you ever watch, like, a really great boxer, man, their hand speed, their foot movement, it's just, it's amazing to watch it. And, you know, and it just can't be replicated except from experience and talent in that particular field. There might be guys that in MMA that have great hands, but, you know, when you put those hands up against a real boxer, man, you see the differences. And it's amazing, man. You got to give it a lot of credit. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, if there's more boxing events, there's, that means there's more work for fighters, for boxers, and more work for people out there trying to, you know, get work. So I'm all for it. But, yeah, it should be interesting. But he feels like... It certainly seems like Dana's sort of slow rolling into it. I'm not sure what that reasoning is. You know, he was kind of, you know, coy about releasing any sort of info on how he wanted to get, jump in this into the boxing thing. But it certainly seemed like he wanted to, you know, get more involved with it. And if it means he's the HBO, as he says, providing the money, that'll be interesting. He certainly has the money to get into it, but if he's, you know, going to try to go head to head in the boxing realm against, you know, Top Rank and a lot of the big players out there, it'll be tough. But I would see more him trying to work with those individuals and to try to make something as opposed to just jumping right in and going head to head in a boxing thing when he's already got multiple ventures going on that takes his time up with the Power Slap, with the UFC, all of his other little shows. I don't think he can, you know, go, you know, jump head first into boxing. I think it'd be something that'll kind of slow roll. Maybe he's trying to work to get an infrastructure in place and a team in place to really sort of make it work where he doesn't have to have so much hands on. But it'd be interesting to see. But it certainly seems like you know, it is something on his mind, and it's something that we've been hearing about forever, it feels like, with the Zuffa Boxing. So to finally actually see that Zuffa Boxing take place over in Dublin was, it was good. It was interesting. It was good fights. I watched it. I thought it was pretty interesting. So, good on him for getting it going. Oh, I did want to give a big shout out to the Junkie Radio Boys who just did their 3,500th episode over there. Man, what a milestone. What a great group of guys that have been doing it for so long. And when you go back, it's on the MMA Junkies YouTube. There is a live they did a live stream, and man, the list of guests that popped on that show. I mean, we're talking Burt Watson, Chael Sonnen, Randy Couture, Ben Rothwell, Michael Chandler, Megan Levy hopped on there. We had some UFC staff. Simon Simon was on there. Nolan King, Mike Bond, Jorge Masvidal hopped on there. Dude, it was like almost, I think it ran 3 hours, and it was pretty incredible, man. A lot of great guests hopping on there to show their appreciation of what Junkie Radio has done for them over the years. George and Goes, man, just really, really nice individuals that have been grinding away doing this thing for so long, and to get to your 3,500th episode is amazing. I mean, we're looking at, this is episode 496. So, you know, the way those guys are going, you know, we're never going to catch up to it. But, so all the respect in the world to those guys for getting that together. That was, pretty darn amazing, I have to say. So yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Let's see, taking a look forward, what's going on. Next week we are back. Oh no, I'm sorry. Next week we're in Salt Lake City. The week after that, we will be back here in Las Vegas. And that is for UFC Fight Night, Royval versus Tyra, UFC Vegas 98. And then the week after that, and this is still, we got Contender Series going on. With the last, we have 3 more weeks left of that one. And then the final week, we have Michelle Pereira against Hernandez, Fluffy Hernandez here for UFC Vegas 99. So some fun weeks definitely going on for that particular one. I know this was a short episode. I just wanted to get something out. You know, we got, you know, the streak. We were never going to keep in question. You know, granted, this might be the episode that you wish didn't come out, but next time, if something like this does happen, I will try to get the AMA out earlier so we can actually get you guys' questions and some other little thoughts that you maybe want in advance. But again, I didn't want to bore you too much. We're talking about UFC Paris without having JMO here. It's just me just rambling and saying, I like this guy because of this. I like this chick because she's hot. Oh, speaking of, Aylin Perez, man, looked rough going in there. I think she was a pound and a half heavy. Anytime you see a fighter step on that scale shaking like that, to the point where it looks like she's going to pass out or just fall, it's hard, man. It's hard watching that one. But as far as I know, that fight has been cleared to go and everything's good to go. If that changed or if I have that wrong, I apologize. But that was rough to see. But should be good. But hey, the fights will be going on. We're going to have coverage over on MMA Junkie, so we'll catch you up on that. For those over on Patreon, thank you very much for your support. Feel free to rate us over on YouTube, Apple Podcast. You can hop on Patreon for as little as $3. You could join the crew over there and have exclusive access to JMO's underwear picks. And no, not really. Unfortunately, there are no underwear picks, or fortunately, there are no underwear picks. But thank you guys. Thanks for bearing with me. I know this was a quick short episode, but, I want to keep that streak going and get you guys a little something. Feel free to give feedback. And again, next time I'll try to rope somebody in. This just kind of fell apart. Last minute, JMO's busy, busy guy. But you know, we want to get you guys something and we'll make it up for you next week. We'll have the real team back together, hopefully in some form, whether we do that remotely or whether we tape early, we will definitely get it, together, for that particular one. But again, thank you all for listening and, for being part of this roadshow family. We appreciate you. And, yeah. Thanks for listening.